Alrighty, I just encourage you, just take out your phone. It's all right, it's legal, you can do it. And on the screen there will be a little barcode. Can you make that screen full? And I ask you this question this morning: what does the resurrection mean to you? What does the resurrection mean to you? So just get your phone and open your camera and point it at the barcode there, and you put that little code in. It's, if you can't see it, you're welcome to come to the front and get the code, and then just answer. So one word, can't say a paragraph, just one word. What does the resurrection mean to you? There we go. Salvation, life. Your answers will come live on the screen. So, what does the resurrection mean to you? Come on down. I'm sorry, it's a little small. So, the bigger the word in the center, that means that the more people have put that there. So, some of our words are life and hope, freedom, everything, acceptance, life to the full. That's four words, not one. Salvation, life in Jesus, peace, new life, restoration, eternity, victory. Still life and hope and salvation are our top three. Grace, saved, everything. Love. I think that's most things. I want to explore that this morning a little bit more about what it means that Jesus did rise from the dead. Because I guess the other way of asking that question, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, what difference would it make to your life? And I ask us seriously about that this morning, because one of the cliches of things like Christmas and Easter is, oh yes, it's Easter and Jesus rose from the dead, but so what? What difference does it make? Does it, the difference it makes that we just go to church at that time of the year and we feel good about ourselves because we've been, or does it have a difference every day in our life? For me, the resurrection of Jesus is the pivotal and the centerpiece of the Christian faith. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have nothing to build our faith on. Jesus died, yes. But the key part about the whole story of Jesus is that he didn't just die, he rose from the dead. And there's no one else in history that I believe has done that, has resurrected from the dead and did what he did. And so I want to explain that or explore that a little bit more this morning. And the first thing I guess we've got to come to terms with is this, that Jesus did actually rise from the dead. In Acts of the Apostles, which is a book written about the Acts of Jesus' apostles, Luke writes this in chapter 1. He says, "In my first book I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. He talked to them about the kingdom of God." If you look at the scriptures and the Bible, you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and even the books of Acts and some of the accounts of the epistles are all about the life of Jesus Christ. And they're all written by firsthand by people that actually spent time with Jesus, lived with Jesus, witnessed his death and his resurrection. You know that there's more evidence to prove that Jesus Christ was a real historical figure than there is to prove that Julius Caesar lived on earth. No one discredits or questions whether Julius Caesar was a historical figure or not. So I still don't know why people question whether Jesus was actually real, and if Jesus was real, then he actually did die and he did rise from the dead. Luke says in Luke chapter 24, he says, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, and taking the spices they had prepared." Yes, I know that was you, Mary. Yes. "They found that..." I just feel someone's watching me the whole time. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed in their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, that he would rise again on the third day." You see, Jesus really did rise from the dead. I don't think that's the question. The question is, do we believe that? Because if behavior is an echo of belief, then the question is, do we believe that he actually rose from the dead or not? There were different kind of thoughts about Jesus and his resurrection. Actual fact, some thought it was nonsense. In Luke 24, Luke records, "But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it." What, Jesus rose from the dead? That's nonsense. Who could do that? And they didn't believe it. Peter even was curious about it and didn't believe it first. In verse 12, it says, "Peter jumped up and he ran himself to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. And then he went home again, wondering what had happened." And still some had to see it to believe it, and others did believe by faith. John records in John 20, "Then he said to Thomas, who was one of Jesus' disciples, 'Put your finger here,' because Thomas didn't believe and wouldn't believe until he actually saw Jesus. So Jesus said to him, 'Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my wound on my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe.' 'My Lord, my God,' Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, 'You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me.'" So my question, I guess, to us this morning is, what's your response to the resurrection? Do you think it's just nonsense? Do you wonder about it, or do you have curiosity about it? Or are you prepared to believe by faith? And my encouragement to us is to explore. If you think it's nonsense, then my encouragement to you is, on what basis do you say that it's nonsense? Do your research and be able to check out and be able to say, this is why, or my encouragement is, as you explore that, I think you'll find it's more than just nonsense. And if you're curious, then be curious and keep wondering and keep pursuing until you find an answer as to whether it's true or not. And if you dare to believe, then believe with all your heart and allow the resurrection of Jesus to impact your life. The second thing I want to say about the resurrection this morning is that through Jesus' resurrection, he cancelled the curse of death. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 5 to 11, Paul writes, "Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ." You see, the curse of sin, when Adam and Eve failed humanity, sin had power then over our lives, and that curse had to be broken. The resurrection of Jesus broke the power of sin and death over us. There's something in a human nature that wants us to try and control things, or there's something in our human nature that wants to make the effort for something. We feel that we should do something to earn our salvation, or we should do something to earn the free gift. This morning, coffees were free, but we're people of habit. No discredit to anyone that did this morning. I'm just using this as an analogy. But people still came, still looked for their coffee card, still wanted to pay for coffee, still wanted, can I, no, it's free this morning. You don't have to do anything. They're still trying to make a way to get coffee, even though it was free. And in a sense, an analogy as simple as that is, it's the same way. We still feel we have this thing between right and wrong, good and evil, And we still feel we have to live a good life, so I need to do the right things or the good things to make sure that I am in the right place and that somehow I will be saved if there is that kind of thing that happens at the end of the day. But the whole thing about Jesus' resurrection is that he came to set us free from that kind of thinking and the power that sin has over us in that. He paid the price, that there's nothing more that we owe for that, and he broke the curse of death in that. And so the resurrection of Jesus opened the door for us to be alive in Jesus and receive eternal life. In Romans 6, it describes the wages of sin as death. There's a cost for sin, and it's death. But at the same verse, it says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul goes on to explain it a little bit. He says in Romans 5, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one person obeyed God, many people will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the law, which is often referred to as the Ten Commandments or the Mosaic Law, highlighted people's sin. You know, thou shalt not steal, kill, murder, bear false witness, covet, a whole bunch of different things. And what it did was kind of make a list of things that we shouldn't do. And so it highlighted the need that when you broke those things in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, you needed to pay something, a price to be reconciled for those sins. It's kind of a little bit like today. We have speed signs on the side of the road and we have mobile speed cameras or radars. And the reason we get fined or booked or lose points is because we go above the speed limit. And the law is there to not only protect us, but the law is there also to highlight when we broke the law. And the police officer will say to you, you were doing 80 in a 40 zone or whatever it was. It's like that's the marker, that's the benchmark. But Jesus came with his resurrection. He enables us now to move beyond that. That's the curse of death that was broken. And he says we can now have right relationship and right standing with God because the law has been broken. The law has been overcome and Jesus has paid the curse of death and his resurrection now brings new life for everyone. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus' resurrection cancelled the power of sin and claimed victory over sin and death. And now there's no longer a sting of death for those who believe in Jesus. I've done my fair share of funerals in my lifetime so far. And it saddens me when I go to a funeral of people that don't believe. There's this kind of ambience or kind of confusion that seems to hang over a bunch of people. Is there really life after death or not? And what has this person done to maybe shore up their way? And we all like to take comfort in that moment by saying, yes, yeah, see them in heaven or see them there or see them here. But the reality is that won't be the same for every one of us. Unless we believe into Jesus, and unless we believe that Jesus paid the curse of death and received that, that's what gets us eternal life. And that's the thing about coming back. Do we believe that or not? Because that's what shores up the afterlife. That's what shores up eternal life that we talk about. It's a choice. It's a decision that we all have to make because one day all of us will die. And so it's something we should give thought to and consideration to. Is it nonsense? Are we curious or do we believe? And so the last thing I want to say about the resurrection and the why I feel we should give thought to that is because Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he did rise from the dead. But his whole purpose in doing that was not just to give eternal life. His whole purpose was to give life, life to the full. Not a life where we would just thrive or survive, not a life where we should survive, but a life where we would actually thrive, where we'd have more than we need, more than we could ask for, more than we could imagine. John puts it this way in John chapter 10. He says, the thief's purpose, he's talking about Satan, the enemy, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. When I think about Satan and his plans and his real and what he wants to do, that verse captures it for me. If there's one thing that Satan wants to steal, it's our identity. The sense that we don't know who we are. And I believe everyone wants to know who they are, where they belong, where they come from, and where they're going to. And when we don't have that, when we don't have that sense of who am I, we walk around confused and live life aimlessly. Just let's have a good time till something happens. But when we do know our identity, we live life with intention, with design, and with purpose. Life has a meaning. Life has significance. We're not just here to make money and have a good time. The other thing that Satan does is then he wants to kill our dreams. When you lose your dream, you start to die and die very quickly. Sadly, a lot of older people lose their dream. They finish work and they've just been making money and having a good time and they feel, what's the point of me being here? They don't have any dreams to keep going, and you'll see them go downhill very quickly. When people lose their dreams, they start to die. Satan knows that. And the last thing I believe Satan does is he wants to kill our self-worth or destroy our self-worth. And that's the other key part. When we don't know that we're worthy, we then live with shame and condemnation. And then when we live with shame and condemnation, we try to put self-protection up. We live with anger and bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, and we blame everyone else for everything else that happens because we don't know who we are. They're the three things I believe the enemy wants to do: to kill, to steal, and destroy. Jesus knew that, so Jesus came to say, I'm going to defeat that, and I'm going to give purpose and life to the full. There's a famous writer called C.S. Lewis, and he wrote this quote. He said, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. So many people think that it's about living a good life. It's not. It's about living a life that believes in Jesus. And out of that comes a good life. But Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And so the reality for us as believers, those that believe into Jesus, is this. Paul talks about it in Romans 8 verse 11. He says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. And that's the reality. That there's this thing that when we believe into Jesus, we believe into his death, we believe into his burial, and we believe into his resurrection. And so that same Spirit is then, when we believe, infused into us. It's the Spirit of the living God, that Spirit that lasts for eternity. That's why our mortal bodies will die, but our spirit will live forever. But that same Spirit that lives within us is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And that's why we can live an empowered life. Not by our own efforts, but the righteousness of God that is now within us, or those who believe. And so Paul articulates it in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for his glorious grace he's poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Those verses encapsulate all that the resurrection holds for those who dare to believe. God loved us and chose us in Christ, not because of anything that we've done, but just because of who we are. God decided to adopt us into his family, and it's something that he actually wanted to do. And the scriptures say not only did he want to do it, but it brings him great pleasure. Maybe that's hard for some of us to believe, that you actually bring God pleasure. I'll just let that rest on you for a minute, that God takes pleasure in you. You bring God pleasure, because sometimes we don't feel that on the inside, or sometimes we get caught up in thinking it's about what we do and what we don't do and the rightness and the goodness. And that's where we need to step out of that and understand the grace of God that comes in to empower us through the resurrection. And so the belief is that there's nothing that we could do right now to make God love us anymore. And there's nothing that we could do now either to make God love us any less. That's that place of acceptance and belonging in Jesus. That's where we step in to receive all that he wants to give to us as adopted into his family. That's where he's poured out his glorious grace over us. That's where through the richness of his kindness and grace, he purchased our freedom with his blood and forgave all our sins. That's where he showers us with kindness and gives us wisdom and understanding. So it's not just about right and wrong. It's about standing under the goodness and awesomeness of God, being showered with kindness, a place to belong, a place of kindness, a place of freedom. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, he not only broke the curse of sin over humanity. When that veil in the temple, it says, was torn in two, a door was opened for anyone and everyone who chooses to receive his gift of salvation. The opportunity to experience real life was there made, that invitation. A life that's more than just surviving, a life that's about thriving and worth living. It's a life of freedom. It's a life of hope, of joy, of love, of peace, and never-ending joy. This is the power of the resurrection of Jesus. So Jesus really did rise from the dead. That's my belief. And through his resurrection, he cancelled the curse of death. And he came, he lived, he died, he resurrected so we might have life, not just an ordinary life, but life to the full. Let me ask you again this morning, how will you respond to the resurrection of Jesus? Would your answer be different now at the end as to what it was at the beginning? Can I encourage you to explore with curiosity and wonder about this awesome resurrection of Jesus? Can I encourage you by faith to receive the same power that raised Jesus from the dead into your own life? If you haven't done that yet, today might be a great day to do that, to say, yes, I receive. I want to have that resurrection life. I want to shore up my place. I want to live a life that's worth living. I want to live a life of significance, of meaning, that has identity, that's full of dreams, and has a purpose and intention. Or I want to encourage you with thanksgiving to enter in to that resurrection life, to be thankful for every spiritual blessing that you have received, to step afresh with wonder and beauty into the power of Jesus' resurrection that already at work within your life, and allow the power to continue to transform and renew you and give you life.